I'll just say welcome if you're new today, and I just see some visitors come in today. Welcome very much to our service. So, shall we stand? Because we're going to worship our God. Shall we pray first? Father, thank you that we can come together in worship. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, come, fill this place with your power. Come, Holy Spirit. Anoint each one of us with your power today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 44, and it's the story of Lazarus, or rather the death of Lazarus. Now a man called Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb there to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you had heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can hear today in your name. We thank you that you are alive forevermore. That's what your word says. So we ask you to come, Holy Spirit, be with each one of us. Inspire us today. Fill us up to overflowing so that when we leave this place, there will be an aura about each one of us that people will be drawn to us to ask us, what is it about you? Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, it's a privilege to come and speak to you this morning. And as you know, I've been going through the I Am statements, sayings in John. And we've covered 4 already. I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, 8:12. I am the door, 10:9. And last time it was, I am the good shepherd, 10:11. We now come to the 5th, which we find at chapter 11, which... I'm sorry, it was a long reading, Graham, but I thought we needed all of it. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Well, I'll ask you the same question. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Well, our reading centres on the resurrection of Jesus' friend Lazarus, whose sisters, as we heard, were Mary and Martha. The 5th I Am statement also involves a miracle, and not just any miracle, a resurrection. My research tells me that in the Old Testament there were 3 resurrections recorded. The widow's son in Zarephath, 1 Kings 17, the Shunammite's son in 2 Kings 4, and the man thrown into Elisha's grave in 2 Kings 13. In the New Testament, depends on how you count them, there's Jairus' daughter, Mark 5, young man at Nain, Luke 7, and Lazarus, John 11, the unknown saints during the crucifixion, Matthew 27. Obviously, the resurrection of Christ, Matthew 26. Tabitha, Dorcas in Acts 9. Eutychus in Acts 20. We've also got five other references, and if you refer to the rapture and the saints and the martyrs, it depends how you count them, and they're all mostly in Revelation. As I've said before, there are seven I am statements of Jesus in John. There are also seven miracles. Raising of Lazarus is one of them. So looking at our scripture passage, we have two sisters, Mary and Martha. Lazarus is their brother, and he was one of Jesus' closest friends. And of course, in that text we read, there is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept for his friend who had died. Those of us who don't know Jesus, we're to not a very good place. And I'm sure Jesus weeps over them too. And the fact that we come and gather to worship is to give thanks to God for what he's done through Jesus. Jesus is amazing. I've got a book at home, and it just says that. Amazed by Jesus. And I might read a quote from that later on. Well, Martha, of course, assumed that Jesus was referring to the resurrection of the dead at the end of time. And so she replied, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, but Jesus had something more immediate in mind. Likewise, Martha viewed his future resurrection as something distant and remote. She completely missed the fact that the true source of life and resurrection was standing right in front of her. Jesus boldly states, I am the resurrection and the life. The message says, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. That's encouraging, isn't it? Even though we die, and, you know, I mean, looking around, there's quite a few old people here, me included, that it's going to happen someday. And I ask the question, do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going? I'm going to be with Jesus. I hope that's your response too. There is life beyond the grave. Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who believes in Jesus will rise again from the dead. And as a foretaste of the future, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Last Monday, Margaret and I attended the funeral of a dear friend of ours, Roger. In fact, his wife, Julie, died a few months earlier. The service was a celebration of his life as a follower of Jesus. Roger was the leader of the youth or young people's group that met in our old church in Bexley Heath. We met on a Saturday evening. Can you believe that? Meeting on a Saturday evening in the church chancel. There were 70 of us that used to meet. We called it discipleship group. In fact, it's where I met Margaret. And we grew in our Christian faith in those early years. What I distinctly remember was that everyone was encouraged to give their testimony, either in front of your peers on the Saturday evening, or in a mission to another church, or in your everyday walk of life. And what happened was, if you were prepared to give your testimony, you Roger, he didn't suffer fools gladly, dear our friend Roger. But if you wanted what we called the DG cross, discipleship cross, it was a small, about a centimetre cross that you could wear in your lapel. But before you were given the cross, you had to give your testimony to the assembled throng. And then, after that, you got your cross, and you could proudly wear it. And I wore it in my school blazer, because I was quite young in those days. But you could be called upon at any time to give your testimony, because you wore the cross. How many of us are wearing the cross of Jesus? Doesn't have to be on the lapel, does it? It's here, and it's how we speak, how we communicate, what our actions are when we interact with people. People should know who our Saviour is by our actions and our words. The story of Lazarus is the story of each one of us. Jesus calls you to rise up and to become fully alive in order to give life, to bring hope to your friends, hope to your family, hope to your work colleagues, hope to our community. The resurrection power is within you. Paul writes to the church in Rome, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." Romans 8, verse 11. In recent times, our world has been shaken in a way that is unprecedented. And that's, for many of us, in our lifetime, the COVID-19 pandemic, wars, terrorism, financial crisis, sickness, almost everyone, each in their own way, has been dealing with fear, grief, and trauma. However difficult your situation may be, however much trouble you are facing in your life, you can have hope. Hope is the confident expectation of God's ultimate blessing in this life and the life to come. Well, based on the goodness and promises of God, with Jesus, there is always hope. Always hope. Like Lazarus in our Bible reading today, some parts of the church have been prematurely declared dead. Well, that's what the press say, don't they? But we know different here. There is a book by the author Callum Brown called The Death of Christian Britain. This book is about the demise of the nation's core religious moral identity. As historical changes go, this has not been a long drawn out affair. It took several centuries in what historians called the Dark Ages to convert Britain to Christianity, but it's taken less than 40 years for our country to abandon it. We see that wherever we go. We see it in government, we see it in parliament, we see it even now in our schools, that Christianity is being abandoned. As someone who goes into schools with scriptures, more and more difficult it is to get into a secondary school. Not welcome to take an assembly anymore. And that's come about over the last 10 years. We need church to pray about this. Sometimes read headlines such as crisis in the church, dramatic decline in attendance. Well, at the same time, we see results of a society that is attempting to shut God out. I used to work in the law, and, well, I was a lawyer. Today, 300 couples are divorced every week. Someone calls the Samaritans every 14 seconds. The pornographic industry is worth billions of pounds. There are 30,000 Christian clergy of all types, but there are more than 80,000 registered witches and fortune tellers. But Britain is not the only nation in trouble. But we know, don't we, deep in our hearts, that we have a powerful God, an amazing Saviour, and he is called Jesus. He is the answer. He is the only way. If we put our trust in him, we will be absolutely amazed. And quoting from the book I mentioned earlier, he is amazing. He took upon himself our very nature so he might give his nature to us. Age 30, he left obscurity and began his public ministry. And he spoke as no man ever spoke before. People who heard him were amazed, and some afraid and some angry. And he called people to leave all and follow him. And he said he was bringing the kingdom of God. And he showed to us he was the king of the kingdom. And he showed us that his was a kind kingdom. And he showed us that he was a powerful kingdom where lives were transformed. And he gave us the keys of the kingdom. And he forgave the sins of the adulterous woman and the cripple who got up and walked. He tenderly touched the leper and healed their skin and removed their shame. He bent double with compassion at the suffering he saw in others. He raised the dead boy and gave him back to his mother. He raised the dead girl and gave her back to her father. He raised his dead friend and gave him back to his sisters. He opened the eyes of the blind. He opened ears of the deaf. He opened the prisons of the tormented. He opened the minds of the questioning. He opened the way for us to God. Now that is amazing. That's our God. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. You said amen. Well, I say amen. I'm done. Thank you for listening. But if God is speaking to you, you have to do something about it. You need to come to him in prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing amongst us. Thank you for healing hearts. I see that Jesus is peeling off the hard exterior of a heart to get to the soft part. Jesus says to, if that refers to you, Jesus says to you, I want you to have a soft heart. I want you to have a soft heart. Thank you, Father. More of your power, Lord. More spirit. Thank you, Jesus.